presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday morning to you, Brevard County. You know, my name's Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God, and I want you to know I try working really hard on getting my weight down, and then days or weeks like this show up, and it just really is a struggle. We have two family birthdays this week, as well as sandwiched in between them a birthday of one of our dear friends at the church, and so we have a real challenge partaking of all of the birthday cake. And I want you to know I'm up for the challenge. I do like birthday cake, and so we are thankful for our family that God has blessed us with, and the love that they have for God and what God is doing in their lives. We are truly blessed. And so we say happy birthday today to our son. He's hopefully gonna have a really, really good day. And so if you're listening today, happy birthday to you. I love you with all my heart. So we also want to say thank you today to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. We talked about Creative AC Solutions yesterday. Wyrick Air, been around for a number of decades here in the county. Carla and Dennis have been running the show there for a couple of years now as the owners, and 632-9538. And they've got technicians that can go all throughout the county and take care of whatever situations you may need to deal with. So give them a call, 632-9538, if you have any AC challenges to deal with, like a number of people that I know of have had. And in fact, in all honesty, 2016, I have heard of more air conditioning problems in with people that I know in Florida and also in Oklahoma than any year that I can remember. It's just been a very difficult summer for AC units. And so if you need some help, give them a call. They can repair, replace. They can make sure your electric is working right. And, you know, if it's been too cold for you, they can even check your heater for you if you need to. That's a joke in August there. But one day soon you will need that heating unit working, and so you might want to get them to check that out too. So let's go back today in the Word to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 15 is where we're going to begin. Yesterday we ended the broadcast with an encouraging note. I need to, you know, do my best Paul Harvey impersonation today, because today you will hear the rest of the story. Verse number 15, it says, "For thus says the Lord," this is Isaiah 30 verse 15, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not, and you said, 'No, for we will flee on horses.' Therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five you shall flee, till you are left as a pole on the top of a mountain, and as a banner on a hill." You know, you can send out all the invitations in the world and not get the response that you need. You could be throwing the best party. You could be throwing the best dinner. You could be offering, you know, the greatest benefits. But if the person that receives the invitation is unwilling, there's nothing that you can do to make them respond at that point in time. And that's what God is saying to the people through Isaiah. They are under a threat from the king of Assyria, the king of Assyria that devastated the 10 northern tribes, and he marches all the way to the gates of Jerusalem. And so it says, in returning and rest, you shall be saved, and quietness and confidence shall be your strength. That was the will of God. That was the desire of God. That was the plan of God. A lot of times when adverse things or difficult things, bad things, tragic things happen, the first person that gets blamed for it is God. God, where were you in all of this? And he says, I was right here. I had the invitation. I had the welcome mat out. I had the light on. I had the door open. I was standing there ready to greet you, and you wouldn't come to me. How many times are we guilty of not accepting the Lord's invitation? Do you know how many altar calls I've given through the years? You know how many times I've invited people to come. You know, one of the things that we encourage our believer, you know, those saints at Merit Assembly of God to do is to walk in wisdom. Very challenging scripture to me. Wisdom is proved right by all her actions. And so, you know, today on this Tuesday, I want to ask you, are you getting results that demonstrably prove the wisdom of God in your life? Because God's wisdom is never going to fail. And so I want to just send a word out to young adults right now, and that is this: don't believe the devil's lie that whatever you do at this point in time in your life doesn't matter, that it's not going to have, you know, ramifications. It does. Life is not just a series of boxes that line up, and what happens in one box doesn't have any bearing on the other box. It's very much intertwined. And if you are not living the life that you need to be living, you need to have a change, a substantive, radical change in your life, where you embrace the goodness, the greatness of God, and say, God, would you make me into a new creation? You know, one of the things that I've discovered through the years is that when people are trying to determine what was going on historically, one of the things that they do is they look at the rings on a tree, and what they do when that happens, they are able to pinpoint, you know, how old the tree is and all of that, because it will show what was happening in the atmosphere will show up in that tree ring system. And because historians know when volcanoes erupted and all of that sort of stuff, they're able to pinpoint and say, wow, this tree here has lived through this and this and this. And so you and I, we need to have markers in our life of spiritual breakthrough events. You know, when you got saved, when you got baptized, when you got healed, when you led your first person to Christ, when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you began to not just hear the word, but became a doer of the word. You need to have those things in your life saying, this is when I began to serve, when I began to be empowered by God, not for a merit badge, but to actually fulfill the will and the call of God on my life. So those rings happen. God's word says that he's no respecter of persons. He is, however, a respecter of those who respond to his invitation. The invitation is there. What are we going to do with it? And so I encourage you to respond. But in Judah's case here, in verse number 15, that verse concludes with this statement, "But you would not. I had quietness for you. I had rest for you. I had strength for you. I had confidence. And you wouldn't have any of it. You rejected it all. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses." And they said, "We are going to make our own way of escape." Have you ever noticed in the movies and things like that, that the person who is running is almost always overtaken by the person that is doing the pursuing? It seems to like the person that is pursuing has the ability to travel at a higher rate of speed. And when the children of Judah said, you know what, we're going to flee on horses, that one of the things is they were constantly looking over their shoulder to see how the person was doing. I do remember from my baseball playing days as a young person that when attempting to steal a base, you were not supposed to turn your head. You weren't supposed to be looking to see if the catcher had thrown the ball yet. You were supposed to keep your head down and run as fast as possible. Didn't understand at that point in time the thought of dynamic aerodynamics and stuff like that, that turning your head would actually cause you to be running slower from just the actual opposition of the air you were trying to do. Didn't understand that, but I do know that that when you are running from something, you're not able to go as fast as someone who is pursuing you. What about if you are running to something? What if we were running in pursuit of righteousness and truth? What if instead of fleeing from something, we were pursuing the plan of God and the will of God? I'm telling you that when you are pursuing something, you will not give up the chase. God said, "I had all of this deliverance and all of my blessings that were available to you, and you wouldn't have anything to do with." And he said, "So you've decided that you are going to run, therefore you will run." Verse number 17, describes what the reaction of people who have nothing upon which to base their confidence, nothing upon which to base their ability to fight and withstand the enemy. It says this, 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. Now, if we were to put that in a righteous perspective, we would like that very much, that one could put 1,000 to flight and two could put 10,000 to flight. But this is not being spoken of as a blessing from God. This is talking about a people who have forsaken God, who have rejected all of his word, and what they are able to stand up against in their own ability. He says, 1,000 of you together could not hold off one of the enemy that you are facing. And if you were facing five enemies, the whole society would run away until you are left as a pole on the top of a mountain and as a banner on a hill. How many enemies do you have? You know, when they are doing a police investigation, a lot of times one of the things that they will ask the family, if somebody's been kidnapped or if somebody's, been assaulted or whatever and not able to speak, one of the things that they will ask the family is, "Does this person have any enemies?" And because we love people, we like to think, no, we don't have any enemies at all. I want you to know you got enemies. You've got enemies. Satan is your enemy. He is not your friend. He's not my friend. Even though he dangles all of these enticements and all of these luxury items out in front of you, he is not your friend. He's not. He's your enemy, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to enslave you. He wants to make your life as miserable as possible. He is your enemy and he wants you gone. But is that your only enemy? Do you realize that time is your enemy? If you are not living for Jesus, time is your enemy. I have this expression, people say, how are you today? And I said, you know, I'm older today than I've ever been before in my life. Today's not my birthday. It's my son's birthday. But even though we're celebrating his birthday today, tomorrow he will be older than he is today. An hour from now, you will be older. And what that means is that you and I are closer to the threshold of eternity than we have ever been before. And if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, time is your enemy. Your mortality will creep up on you, and like an enemy unaware, you won't see it. I may be in my 50s, but my body, or my mind still thinks that I can do the things that I could do when I was a teenager. It's only until that muscle seizes up or the pain sets in that my body reminds my mind that says, you are not quite as young as you used to be. You can't get your leg up as high as you used to with those kicks. And that doesn't have to be my reality. But I will tell you this, no matter how flexible you are, no matter how physically fit you are, time is creeping up on you. If you are out of shape, I want to encourage you, get in shape as soon as possible, because the longer you go out of shape, the harder it is to get in shape. Do you realize that now I eat less food than I did when I was in my 20s? In my 20s, I could eat my mother's, well, probably been earlier than that. But in my 20s, I was still able to eat like a vacuum cleaner. I mean, I could really pack the food away and get up the next morning and lost weight. My favorite dish is tacos. I could eat six of my mother's tacos, a full plate of nachos, have dessert and two or three Pepsis along the way, and get up the next morning and had lost weight. My metabolism just was so revved up that now I eat a fraction of that and just drive by a Dunkin' Donuts, don't even stop, and smell the donuts, and it's like, oh, okay, even though you just drank water today, you gained weight because you smelled the fresh donuts. Time is your enemy. Sin is your enemy. Sin is not your friend. It is your enemy. And those are just some of the things. Sickness is your enemy. It is desirous of taking you out. Do you realize that most of the things that people die from are not things that we can necessarily readily see with our naked eye? And instead, we'd have to amplify it. We'd have to be able to see it under a large, the things that cause a heart attack are very, very, very small. And yet they can kill us. Sickness is an enemy. So I've named four. Debt is not your friend. It is your enemy. I know a lot of businesses that were fully leveraged back when the economy fell apart in 2008 and 2009. That when things began to go badly, that they were so leveraged that they were unable to survive. Or if they did survive, they survived as just a fraction of their self. Debt is not our friend. And so you might have other enemies. You might have addictions. You might have educational inadequacies. There may be a number of enemies that you are facing. He says, in a society that doesn't want to hear anything about God, that those enemies will cause the entire society to flee and abandon the place that they love. Doesn't that sound encouraging? Let's change the narrative. Remember, this is the Refresh Radio broadcast. I like truth to be refreshing, but God always has an alternative. And so verse number 18 says this, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Okay, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. And so God says, I'm not going any place. I'm still waiting. My invitation still stands. As you are running in shame and disgrace from your enemies, I'm here. And I'm just going to wait this out, because it is my desire to show you how gracious I am. I want to show you my favor, my compassion, and my love. I want to show you my blessings. I'm going to wait until you have seen that your plans failed and you are ready to come and do things my way. Do you realize that the prodigal son, when he returned home, with a perspective that his father treated his people better than the son saw the rest of society. All those people that were friends when he was rich suddenly found that he didn't have as many friends. And he found the employer that he was working for wasn't as good to his employees as his dad had been. And so when he came back a humbled man, but he came back with a more accurate perception of how his father treated people. And folks, all God wants us to do is come back to him and say, I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? By the way, that's what the prodigal son actually said. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but would you please have me as a servant? He came back with repentance. It was when he came back repentant. It wasn't just that he came back. He came back transformed, that set him up for the robe and the shoes and the ring and the fatted calf and the celebration. That's what set all of that up. And so God is waiting. Do you realize that one of the descriptions of God is that he's long-suffering? We are impatient. God is long-suffering. We want to intervene as soon as possible. And God says, if you haven't learned from the previous invitations that I've extended, then I will wait until you realize that you got the answer wrong. Lifeguards, when they go out to rescue somebody, if they try to rescue a drowning person and the person is fighting them, they will push themselves away until the person has exhausted themselves to the point that they therefore can be successfully rescued. Don't wait. Don't wait. God is waiting because he wants to be gracious to you. So many people in this society think that God has this mean side, that he's looking to be punitive to you. And all the time he's looking to show you his grace, his mercy, and his love. He said, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. God, when he is exalted to the highest place, then we realize how merciful he is. If God wanted to send us all to hell, all he would have to do is withdraw, and hell would vacuum us up. But God desires to have mercy. But he must be exalted. We must dethrone ourselves and enthrone him. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait on him. So, what does the waiting room of God look like? The waiting room is not your doctor's waiting room, where you get to go through the door and go into another room where you sit and wait some more. God's waiting room is where we are spending time in his presence, having his ways become our ways, having his abilities strengthen us for the task that he has for us, where we are being transformed. Waiting in the presence of God is God. It's a change of mindset from, okay, God, what can you do for me, to God, what can I do for you? How can I minister to you? How can I serve you? Do you realize that angels, it says that they are constantly beholding the face of the Father, that they are coming and going from the throne room on a regular God. The word angel simply means messenger. An angel is a messenger who comes before the throne of God. He hears the word of God, for whom the word of God is intended. He takes that word, delivers that word, and comes back and says, how can I serve you now? And that, I believe, is the mindset that we need to have, is that God has the solution to our dilemma, and we need to spend time in his presence. Now, can I just tell you this, that the tendency that I have seen in many, many lives is that whenever we have a problem, we press in until we get the answer, and then we revert back to the same strategies and lifestyles that got us into the problem in the first place. And then we wait until the next crisis emerges, and then, I need to get back and do this. Can I encourage you that God isn't looking to be just your emergency bailout plan? He is looking to be your life partner. He's looking to be the most important person in your life. Do you know that my relationship with God is more important than my relationship with my wife? My wife needs me to be a man who falls in love with Jesus so that I can be the husband for her that she needs me to be. My kids need me to be in love with Jesus more than I am with them, so that they see that it's not just words coming out of my mouth, but it's the life that I live. Your family, your community, our country, we all need to fall in love with Jesus. We need to be spending so much time with him. It's not just the place that we run whenever we have a crisis. It's the place we run every single day. Every single day. That's what happens. Don't just run to God whenever you've got a problem. Run to him on a regular basis, and you will be amazed at the mercy that you will receive and the grace that you will receive, because God's not going to keep you deprived as a covenant child of his. He is going to empower you because you are a trophy of his grace. Let's pray. Father, I pray today, God, that everyone who is in crisis would come to you today and find that you are able to deal with their crisis. But Lord, let's run to you all the time, that we might well represent you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."